Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to this SmackDown review. I'm Michael Humphrey from What Culture and I'm joined by Michael Sidgwick from What Culture to discuss everything that happened on tonight's edition of Friday Night SmackDown. But first, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review Friday Night SmackDown as well as Monday Night Raw, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events, and we host a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, not this week, on wrestle culture. And not this week, Sidgwick, because we are in Las Vegas. And look, right off the bat, out the gate, this SmackDown review is not going to be what it normally is.
No.
Me and Wilborn normally sit down on a Monday, 2 days removed from this show, having had time to digest it over the weekend, compose our thoughts, maybe even look at how the internet has reacted to things so we can offer that, all that kind of stuff. We have literally just finished watching SmackDown here in Las Vegas. We are still here, as you can tell by the echo in this room.
Yeah.
Thank you again for this week for listening to our podcast. We know it's not ideal, but we hope you're enjoying the live experience as we are. It was great as two Brits, TM, to watch SmackDown at a normal time. But I want to say in advance of this review, number one, Adam Wilborn is a broadcast professional.
Yes.
And his recaps, goated, best in the business. And I never even intend to be able to keep up that standard. So you're not going to get that on this review.
No.
Number two, we did a live stream, which you can catch on what is probably now two separate YouTube links somewhere in YouTube's back catalogue because the Wi-Fi was really dodgy. Phil was on unbelievable tent hooks trying to like keep the stream alive. We had like Simon Miller's VPN like through BT Sport or something that was broadcast to SmackDown for us in the hotel's dodgy Wi-Fi. Thank you if you're on that stream. We hope you, if you're listening to this and you were, you had a great time. Thank you very much for that. It was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it. But it did mean that obviously we were reading the comments, we were engaging with the listeners, we were all talking amongst ourselves about our Vegas experience. It was a great stream. Go and check it out. But obviously, so we've literally just finished recording that. So like some of the stuff might not be fresh in our mind or we might have missed things. So we apologise for that. And number three, Sidge, I shotgunned two hard Mountain Dews. And they're 5% each, and they're a pint and a half per can. So, whereas otherwise in Las Vegas, I've kind of been sweating out every $2 beer I've had.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like a little bit warmed up on them dudes.
You are jittery.
I'm a little bit jittery.
The
caffeine, plus the 5% vodka-infused Mountain Dew or gin, whatever the fuck they put in that thing, has got me the most pissed I've felt since we've been in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So when I forget a thing, that's why. But again, I'd like to think this is like Las Vegas character related podcasting.
Yes.
So, you know, and don't grasp me up to Wilborn. Just don't snitch tag us that we blew his awesome podcast by doing a silly hotel one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a little bit drunk. A little bit drunk. I'm drinking.
I'm drunk already.
just
seen the level spike on this.
I'm drinking Cayman Jack margarita.
In a can.
In a can. It's obviously not like a margarita in a can. So if I drank the margaritas I make in a unit like this, it's a massive can. It's going to make a really vulgar comparison of what it looks like.
I think I can pick up what you're putting down, brother.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
If you had a thing like this and it was erect,
oh my God,
I don't think it would fit nowhere.
Trying to afford a documentary and it scarred me for life.
It'd have trouble. It'd be like a vanity cack.
It'd be hard to even came and jack off.
All the blood out of your head. Nobody jacked this thing off.
Speaking of blue balls, blue brand. It was the go-home edition of SmackDown ahead of Night of Champions, which, by the way, in case I referenced this on an earlier podcast, we will not be live streaming because SmackDown has proven to us that, like, look, we're having a nice time at the hotel. The Wi-Fi doesn't hold up to the tech. We wish we could. It was a load of fun. Yeah, it was a load of fun tonight. SmackDown, if anything, serves a bit of a dummy run for Night of Champions. We wanted to do it. We couldn't do it. But we are going to get some content out on that. The predictions are up now on the podcast feed, and we will be, of course, watching and then reviewing the show as you would expect, basically. Yeah. We'll be there on the podcast feed, and we'll probably be in slightly better fettle than we are right now. But let's get through SmackDown so we can hit the tables, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blackjack.
We're going to go play some goddamn blackjack. I want to roll some goddamn dice. I want to get a heart 8 at the craps table.
I don't know how to play craps.
Me neither, but I want to
ask.
I want to get a heart 8.
Okay.
Heart. I think it means 2 4s. I don't even know. Craps. Maybe I'm talking craps.
No, I don't think a heart 8 is 4. So you have a 6 or 2.
I want to do roulette, but like on the actual wheel. Like the sound of the ball bouncing off that is so nice. Like, what's that aural YouTubers like make a ton of money.
ASMR.
Yes, I get like an ASMR thing off the ball going. It's really nice, really nice. Like croupier is a lucky good. Yeah, hard job. They're more talented than Austin Theory, who's defending his United States title against Sheamus in the opener. Sheamus is accompanied by Ridge Holland and Butch. Look, we were watching again. There was issues with stream, so I want to apologise in advance to every single match where we miss bits. We're doing our best.
You know what you should do, listeners, is that if we miss a recap or we missed a bit of the match on a WWE TV programme because the stream was buffering or we were responding to people in the YouTube chat, I'm fairly secure in saying that if you watch any WWE television match and you're familiar with the rhythms in the style and when the moves happen and how long they take between moves, you've probably got a good idea of how this thing goes by this point.
I have no idea what you were talking about, Sage, because this is a seesaw back and forth. Look,
here we go, back and forth, near fall after near fall.
I hope that this is nobody's first What Culture Wrestling podcast, because people that have been listening for years are going to afford us this freebie.
Yeah, but anybody
who's like, you know what, I've like not had a chance to watch SmackDown, search podcast app, SmackDown Review, who's at the top, it's the number one wrestling podcast, is What Culture. I'll give them a go. What can possibly go wrong?
Austin Theory went wrong.
Yeah. Shame.
He's
just dumb.
You've seen Theory match. You've seen a million of them, and I saw this one. It didn't have a finish.
Yeah, this had we had some all sorts of jitters in the feed, and it was still better than the John Cena WrestleMania match. Sheamus, you pointed this out
on
the stream.
Watch it.
You pointed this out on the stream. Austin Theory, right?
Don't let it only take.
Yeah, all right, I'll pull back on that. The best thing we can say about an Austin Theory TV title defense at this point is that if he comes away more credible than when he went in, that's kind of a massive success. And I felt like that at the end. Like, look, let's cut to the finish. He beats Sheamus here with a handful of tights, and there's going to be probably more Austin Theory and Sheamus. But how did that occur? Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland were obviously not running interference. They were just there to support Sheamus, but pretty deadly. Yes, boy!
Yes,
boy! Came from the crowd to start a fight with Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland, and that was what threw Sheamus, who didn't have exactly things in control, but he was looking like he was on his way to winning. That sort of disruption left Sheamus vulnerable to the surprise roll-up. Simon Miller was at least a big fan of that. Huge pop from Miller. Handful of tights for Austin Theory. So he gets the win. We're probably going to get another go at this, and we're probably going to get a go at the six-man feud, which you were putting over.
Yes. One thing about this, right, is before they do the finish, you know what I'm talking about. The WWE TV finish of, right, how can we book a finish that allows us to get away with doing that and making sure that we can do this again?
Mm-hmm.
So I hate this program. It's rubbish, man.
Yeah.
Why do you like it?
Because it's fed the beef. WWE.
What can we do to just do this again and make this mean nothing? At least in this way. They have
put the funny heels in it.
Yeah, yeah. They've potentially created a stable that might do wonders for the guy who needs wonders doing for him.
Mm.
Austin Theory, for me, is robotic. He's stilted. He's the ultimate tell-don't-show wrestler. He is telling you, he's reading out his Wikipedia page of accomplishments before he's even got one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrestler that Austin Theory
is. Not great.
He's manufactured as it gets. Pretty Deadly, meanwhile, who've interfered kind of on his behalf, or, you know, some dickhead guys.
All the motivations that have kind of overlapped with his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Austin Theory desperately needs to be comfortable in his own skin. Like, even John Cena was like, I don't believe you. You're playing a role, playing a part. I don't believe you. And he said that. He said that to Theory before he actually said it on Raw.
Yeah.
On the WrestleMania, Road to WrestleMania.
He's since admitted he was shooting Cowboy. Yeah. He feels it.
And he's right. Of course he's right. He just doesn't feel natural in there. He's been told you're the guy. And he's like, right, okay, I'll just say I'm the guy then. Mm-hmm. Doesn't believe in himself. He's not comfortable. It's all very stilted. Conversely, Pretty Deadly are class.
Yeah.
They love what they do. They have nailed their act, and they seem to be having loads of fun with it in that system as well.
Yeah.
Where it has to be super intense or super spooky or super stupid. They just, like, realise what it's there to do, and they have this sort of really endearing, yes, boy!
Yes, boy!
Sense of joy about them. So if they can partner Austin Theory and someone, Triple H, will say, you know what, you could do with that. It'll be like those guys. That could be the next step for you, Austin.
Who knows, Austin? Like, you and Pretty Deadly go, well, you could be riding a tank up into AEW Towers.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
That kind of nonsense, yeah.
Hey, 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 Austin. Hang around with those guys and, you know, who's to say 2-3 years from now, you could be boring everyone's tits off at WrestleMania.
This thing, Austin.
It was 25 goddamn minute matches. Hey, Austin. Did you know that me and Batista went actually longer than Brian and Kofi Kingston in WrestleMania 35? Did you know that?
There's one diamond in this business, and it ain't Richard Flair.
Did you know, Austin, come here, I'm talking, and you'll listen because I'm the game. Did you know that even at a goddamn press conference, when I'm kind of trying to neg Cody Rhodes, why'd you break your arm, asshole? It's in the script. Why'd you break your arm? Here's the thing. I think I've got that from Triple H, you know. He's polluted my mind. It's the general gist is, this match meant nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen a WWE TV match. I barely had to watch this short review. I kind of didn't, actually. Two takeaways. One, Austin Theory.
I could murder two takeaways.
Under the learning tree of Pretty Deadly. Could actually work.
Yes, bring him out that's of a his weird shell. Situation, yeah. But yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
The other thing is that Sheamus, even when he's working a generic 3-star effort with Austin Theory, who looks like he's been manufactured in a lab to work 3-star WWE TV matches. Yeah. That's the wrestler.
He looks like a Madame Tussauds waxwork of a wrestler, even when he's moving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even. When he, yeah, you work with Theory, oh cool, 3-star ceiling. And there's going to be like.
Cool, got it, boss. Yeah.
And even when there's going to be banana skin finish when he got rolled up like an asshole, purely is justification for another match. Cool. Remember like when we used to do weights? And this is going to be more. Yeah. He still sells like he's knackered and he's like in a fight. Like the effort he goes into every single time cannot be denied.
No, that's true. It's
better take some people who watch the goddamn program.
That's that is fundamentally that's at the root of the success of the Gunther program. And the idea of where they go back to he's doing the Garcia dance. Right, we're going to go next to the Bloodline dressing room. I'll recap this, but then I'll pick it up in the main event because our stream was going. Haywire during this time.
You got the gist. One of the Usos stared at Roman Reigns.
Well, right, hang on.
Yeah.
Right. Roman tells Heyman, even though they're in the room, that Jimmy and Jay are not needed in Saudi Arabia.
No, they're not.
The first neg. But he does want them there when he celebrates his 1,000 days as champion on next week's SmackDown. He says he wants the whole family there, especially Jay. Because he's his favourite, and that's not building up any kind of tension.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Usos are like, right, we've heard all we need to hear. We're going to leave. Jay is kind of like absorbing that like little low-key neg. And Jimmy stands up, and he's about to go. And Roman stops and says, sit down. You leave when I tell you to leave. And instead, for change, Jimmy has a think about it and just stands there. Roman, in this weird moment where like the latest basically neg on Jay... Is that like, you know, like, at least like Jay sometimes has got a bit of fire. Jimmy, you suck. I've always been able to beat you. Like, I know I've been like kind of like griefing your brother for 2 years, but like, God bless him for that one time. You're even worse. Yeah. Like, that kind of crap.
Record breaking WWE Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. And at this point, Jey Uso just cannot take the tension, and he's like, leave it, like, getting it, like, he's kind of like eyeballing Jimmy, just saying, leave it, it's not worth it. You know, like, I think, if nothing else, Jey playing peacemaker here fed into something we're going to get at the end of the show. But it was like, we both complimented Roman Reigns' face acting during all this. He is so, so scary and funny.
He's the best.
He's got a lot. This is good, and it picks up later on as well. In the meantime, we get to Shotty Blackheart and Raquel Rodriguez versus Damage Katarl. I hate to do this, but like, we were doing a stream with Miller, and I don't want this to be a review of the stream, but our thing froze up on the finish, and then in the stream comments, everybody was going, botch, 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 botch. And right, here's what actually happened, having like had to find some footage and skim through and double check this. So there's a double team move that is set up by Shotzi and Raquel, but Bayley and Io break that up. Bayley's tagged back in, going for a sunset flip, and that was the point our stream froze up. Io Sky drop kicked Raquel to complete the sunset flip, but she kind of leaps over and drop kicks Shotzi, so it's not a botch, because it's like a more of a miscommunication, and as a result, Raquel can lean forward and pin Bayley.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, good booking. Like, Shotzi...
Good booking.
It's good booking. Io's impact of the dropkick is so successful that she could have secured a pin herself, but in not saving Bayley, Damage Katarl lost, and Bayley next week will say, why didn't you nail the dropkick on her?
You could have done it that way.
And then I would have nailed the sunset flip. So I'm not so sure. Again, I wish I could comment on the execution, because everybody was going botch, and Simon Miller said, don't be cruel, like, that might not have been a botch, but we couldn't confirm it. But that was the implication to me when I saw it, was that I don't think that was a flub. I think that was something for Bayley to be on. Great drop kick on Shotzi, but why didn't you save me? Anyway, point of all this is that Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi get the win, and the tag team four-way for the belts happens on Raw instead of this week. And I guess you have to give them the win, because this is Raquel's like 15th partner. So I was like, hey, Raquel and Shotzi, kind of got a lot of tag team momentum heading into the tag title match, don't you think, Wade?
That's right, Michael. That's right, Michael. Probably, yeah. I think they're going to win.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for the other thing. You're not allowed to do that anymore, Wade. Anything on this?
Why did it happen?
Seth Rollins.
Listen. Why did it happen?
Yeah.
They're both in the match.
Mm-hmm.
I've got momentum.
Yeah, that's it. They're, as a team, they're brand spanking new. So they need to show that they've got chemistry.
Yeah.
Over a team that are also in the match.
Why did it happen? Because they're both, like, there's no stakes.
Yeah.
And you don't get punished for losing. You don't get rewarded for winning. You don't get put into like a title match if you win, because you get put into a title match if you lose.
I think it's a Damage Katarl. If they can't
it's
win,
a consequence.
If they can't win,
why am I watching?
If they can't win the tag belts on Raw on Monday, they might have to fight for the NXT tag belts on Friday on SmackDown. That's a teaser.
Dos, no tres. Cuatro.
He's doing the dance. Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins' video from Raw plays again, as does AJ Styles. There was a lot of this. Actually, this was a tape SmackDown. Obviously, they're all in Saudi Arabia ahead of the pay. But even our beloved Simon Miller was like, "Few too many video packages for a go home SmackDown."
Yeah,
just tape wrestling matches. Like, you're in a building already.
Yeah,
just give the fans. Yeah.
Well. How hypocritical are we?
Fair. Yes, maybe.
What do we do?
I heard myself saying that, and I realised, well, like,
what do we do? 48 hours ago, we were like,
too much wrestling.
Yeah,
too much wrestling. And nothing makes you feel like too much wrestling in your life than Top Dollar walking to the ring, which is what he did to accompany Ashanti the Adonis for a very short match. This was effectively a competitive squash win for Cameron Grimes, as he kind of makes his way on SmackDown. Look, Hit Row are what they are at this point. They're there to try and enhance, I guess, the new stars, but this didn't really do the job particularly well. But the Cameron Grimes did get the win with the cave and all. It was just too much of a nothing match, and Hit Row don't have anywhere near the credit in the bank for this to mean anything. WWE get this wrong all the time.
All the time.
Like, if you're going to do a competitive squash, then the idea is the person that's winning should gain credibility for beating the person he's beaten. But Ashanti Adonis has done nothing since he's been the main roster. The win means nothing. And also Baron Corbin, who of course was beaten in a record, whatever it was, 3 seconds, by Cameron Grimes 2 weeks ago, jumps him after the belt, so he's really pissed off. He jumps him in the ramp, obviously. Corbin didn't get booed so much as he got the button-pressing hairdryer for this. Like, I get it. It's WWE booking backwards. Corbin can say it was a fluke because I wasn't ready and you hit me in 3 seconds. But does anybody want the long version of this match? Was the big Cameron Grimes debut 3 second win not more effective for just happening and we all move forward rather than like, and now you're going to see him win against the same guy in 7 minutes?
Telling me the first match didn't matter.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, follow that this show.
Any thoughts?
No.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Look, it'll have this weird thing where they haven't botched Cameron Grimes at all. Like, if you watched him and you knew now about him because you hadn't seen NXT, but you just watched him on SmackDown the last, what, this is his third week?
Yeah.
You think, who's this guy? You got no idea how legitimately funny he is.
Mm-hmm.
He can make you piss yourself laughing, Cameron Grimes. He's so stupid, but he knows it, and he knows how to play stupid. All of this could come. Maybe Triple H has earned letter player privileges. At the minute, you're not getting, I don't think, a glimpse of the joy that Cameron Grimes can give you.
No, I would agree with that.
So why even have NXT?
That's not to say that he's not got it all, but
he's still got it.
It is odd that they're not letting him showcase it.
Maybe the willing time.
The Corbin match is not one I need. And I like Baron Corbin, but it's not the one I need.
I had to take, ultimately proven to be correct, by the way. I'm not JD from New York. Hate that. I'm right, and everyone should listen to me. But sometimes, you know, you gotta put yourself over.
I call it like a goddamn seer.
I call him like a goddamn seer. I said, like, with LA Knight, you can't just be, hey guys,
yeah,
hey guys, how fun is this to say, yeah. You have to, like, think he's a knob, but, oh, he's a really, like, fun knob to get behind.
Yeah.
I think maybe they should have debuted Cameron Grimes as a heel. He's got that incorrigible, oh, you are such a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I'm not saying he's on the same star level or he will be on the same star level, but the point I always make, should have done this with Roman Reigns after the Shield turn, 1998 Rock. Falling in love with that asshole was just amazing.
That's how Deadly Game was as successful as it was.
For the Huckleberry Sour Beer, I've had a mango beer.
Several $2 beers.
Several $2 beers.
We got a lot of work done this morning.
Yeah.
And we were buying gifts for our families this afternoon, and it was very, very hot. So we were stopping for drinks along the way, and the hotel sells $2 beers. And it's like the dumb thing to have a couple of drinks on the stream for the buzz and that.
Yeah.
Just to, like, yet again,
explain. Don't apologize.
I'm not apologizing. I'm explaining the buzz. Yeah. I'm justifying the buzz.
So what I'm saying is, I'm a bit more candid than I ordinarily would be. 1997/1998/1999, first years of my secondary school experience, okay? That's high school to you Yanks.
Americans.
Everyone loves Steve Austin.
When you're a freshman in homeroom.
Yeah.
Year 7 for English.
WrestleMania 14, everyone just loves Steve Austin. The summer of 99.
And Shawn Michaels, who's the fucking man?
Everyone in my school doesn't know who Shawn Michaels is.
No, I don't know.
Out of the door the second it got big. Is it a coincidence?
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Or is it the fact that he can't draw?
Let me tell you about Bret Hart. Come back.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone just loves Steve Austin. Everyone loves Steve Austin. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, there's all sorts of great things on this show. I'm going to watch it. And then The Rock happens. He's like, oh, this guy's an arsehole. Yeah. This guy's so cocky. He's really funny, but he's an arsehole. And then you realise, oh, he's the best. Mm-hmm. And he starts to become everyone's favourite in October 1998. And then they do the turn. Everyone's like, oh, well, The Rock's the best.
You watch Breakdown in Your House.
Yeah.
And he's in the, is it the Triple Threat Cage? Cage, Shamrock. Yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ, the pop when he comes out in Canada. No. Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, oh, God, this Rock guy's awesome. It's that classic. I'm allowed to cheer him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns and it's all the rest of it. And then he becomes a baby face. One, this is what they should do with Cameron Grimes. It's just so much better and less forced and desperate that way. Two, we love The Rock so much, right?
Yep.
That me and an old school friend. This is a hyper-specific reference point. If you are 37 or 38 years old, you were born in the United Kingdom, right? You used to go to a shop called Top Man.
Yeah.
You used to buy short sleeve shirts with dragons on them.
Dragons, Chinese symbols.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Flames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be The Rock in our school, if you went to the metro centre of town, you would get one of them, just unbutton them and walk around.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Unbuttoned. Chest out.
Yeah.
Fair play. I didn't. Fair play to that. I respect that.
Do you smell what the wick is cooking? You get it? Because it's short and cinch wick. I might have done that.
The wick. Oh. Right.
Cameron Grimes to be The Rock.
Fundamentally, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll recall, long-time listeners will recall, that I said that Kushida stayed in Cameron Grimes' hat was kind of a big bang in Wednesday Night War storytelling.
There's at least four people on Twitter who are lovely enough to interact with us a lot. You're going to love the week.
I think this podcast has gone well. This has been a successful podcast. Unlike the next segment, which was anything but successful. Bianca Belair comes out and it's very earnest babyface stuff. She's selling the chili infused mist.
I've got the suntan lotion eyes.
Yeah, so you kind of like understand that. She doesn't understand what she's going through. This was obviously the taped SmackDown. I get why like the piped in noise again. I get that because the fans have just seen it happen and then she's got to say like, last week you did this and tomorrow I'm going to fight you. So that's a tricky situation for, you know, I get that. But it was all very, why, Asuka, why? Like, if you want a rematch, could just ask for it. Like, I liked fighting at WrestleMania when it was just about respect. that mist really hurt, and like it didn't just hurt my eyes, it hurt my goddamn feelings, that's all that kind of stuff. And then Asuka doubles down on turning heel by trying to jump from behind. It's just medical fight. And then they get pulled apart, and there's like the last kind of like common garden rope build up for this babyface heel version of the WrestleMania match. Is there anything to add to this? Like, we did a Night of Champions preview where I welcome you to go and listen.
Crying again.
I welcome you to go listen to our discussion of how this match could succeed or fail.
Yeah, versus more earnest and sober and things.
All that sort of stuff. We've got LA Knight. Excuse me. Where are my manners? We've got LA Knight. Coming out of the ring, great, for his match with Rick Boogs. We said on the preview, don't F around, and we didn't need to. Like, we got, a very basic TV match, and he got the LA Knight one with the blunt force trauma, made fairly easy work of Rick Boogs. Not a problem, because LA Knight is a guy for now, and Rick Boogs is a guy for down the road, and they are determined to keep LA Knight a heel, and to your Cameron Grimes point, that's probably wise, because the crowd are getting louder and louder and louder the more obnoxious he gets. And the organic babyface turn is the best kind, so that's going to happen for him. But here, he was positioned against the Street Profits, and he kind of, destroyed them. Like, not many people get licks in on the Street Profits, but they were on headsets doing commentary, because, of course, the turn happened in a tag match against them last week. LA Knight just did very... I love him. And he's still Stone Cold Rock Austin, and I love him anyway. His delivery is absolutely fantastic. There was a great line in there. He said Street Profits are trash, and he takes out the trash. You say that you want the smoke, well, you're going to get smoked by LA Knight. So he's not scared of the 2-1 advantage. I think he's taking on one of the Street Profits on next week's SmackDown. I don't think this even leads to...
What is it?
LA Knight and a partner versus the Street Profits. I think it's just he's going to feud with them because they're really popular and he's an asshole. Good night for LA Knight. This good week for him.
He was just...
getting cheers at the Night of Champions press conference. And apparently, I haven't seen this yet, but apparently Triple H's facials are worth going and checking out in response to that. It's happening.
It's just over.
Mm.
It's ridiculous that he's not getting a bigger push, commensurate with how over he is. Why? He's got a great body, could talk, people love him. Just, push him. Well, they're kind of doing it.
Not least because of, I love LA Knight, and there shouldn't be ageism in wrestling, in my opinion. But it's taken him a while to get to WWE and get to this point. So you could say, right now, the bump clock in LA Knight's body is going a tick-tock. Which leads us very nicely to carrying...
That's a great segue, I'm sorry.
Thanks so much.
They're all 45 anyway.
They are.
The headline crew of WWE, AJ, Sheamus, Roman, that's spring chickens, these lads. So it's not as if you can get held back for how bloody old he is.
They're all getting older, apart from Karrion Kross. He just wrestles like he is. He is giving all the tarot cards and threats to AJ Styles. It's stubborn to look at what lies in front of you. Seth Rollins, you should be looking at me instead.
Why?
And the match is evidence of that. Look, this goes over a couple of commercial breaks and it is at the very least competitive. And I don't mind AJ Styles. We talked about this as a tune-up for AJ ahead of the match against Seth Rollins. This is probably the best role for Cross in a way. He's big, he's physical, and wrestlers have to, just like Nakamura did it in their mini feud, just like Rey Mysterio did it. It's like the reverse of how does Karrion Kross adjust to beat this wrestler's style? It's like, how does the wrestler adjust his style to beat Karrion Kross?
Yeah.
And we get every version of that. The matches are only ever 3 stars ever.
Three?
Yeah. But it's AJ Styles.
That was Karrion Kross, what's less?
He beats Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
But I like the promo afterwards. He went into Gorilla and he was knackered. He was like that kind of like match worn down, all that kind of stuff, which I thought kind of made the promo, this idea that Seth's talking like he's already won the belt and he's in Hollywood. I'm here winning on television right before I'm about to fight for the title. Kind of implying without saying as much that it's a bit of a foregone conclusion that Seth's going to win the belt. And then it gets a little bit catchphrasey. He says Seth may be the Jeep Cowd, and he won't marry your boots, but Mario, because I bought the Jaguar and I'm phenomenal.
So what's the expression that they use for Seth for how good he is?
It was I see Seth for who he is, and like he said, he can be anything he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not phenomenal.
Yeah. Right. Here's a secret life hack for WWE. They do this all the goddamn time. Whenever they try to sign off a promo, or a lot of times when they do the outline
mm-hmm.
to let you know that, all right, okay, he's finished talking, let's get to some next two and three quarter star action.
Yeah.
Sort of a hairdryer crowd. A Thunderdome made flesh.
Yes.
They say, this wrestler might be their catchphrase, but I'm my catchphrase.
Yeah.
So, you know, The Miz might be awesome, but I'm phenomenal.
Yeah. You may think you're a Celtic warrior, but you're going to kneel to the steel, Sheamus. When we get back over the Atlantic, this is definitely going to become a game.
It is.
100%.
Yeah,
these TV matches with no like previous story, we're going to catchphrase them into existence.
Asuka, you might have had the longest reigning run with the NXT women's title, but I'm the EST of WWE. He was another one who wrestled.
We literally had one before. You want the smoke, you're going to get smoked.
Yeah.
By LA Knight.
The wordplay as well, the other way around. Yeah.
What about.
You want the WWE.com roster page for me, please?
Hang on, wait a second. AJ Styles, you're the face that runs the place, but I prefer space because I'm going to the moon. Yeah, you have
that's going to happen about a week.
Yeah. WWE roster, what do you want? Do you want.
Just. Go down.
Yeah, do you want the...
down the blue again.
Do a thing. Do it to me.
Useless.
Bit. Thank you. Do you want the current main roster? Right. Sorry, Sidge.
Wait. Put the microphone, Drunky.
Going on, right.
Wake up, Drunky.
What, right. The WWE Superstars page. I've lifted up the laptop. Champions. Right. Women's tag team titles, of course.
Yeah.
Currently held by Bacon.
Ah! It's just a great heat!
Bacon! Right. Okay. It's pretty funny. Do you want the existing main roster, or would you like the existing. Legends, alumni, etc.?
We're going to do it in 1989. If Bad News Brown, I'm going to be absolutely knackered.
Okay.
So it was a creative writing team then.
Right.
It was better.
So what are we doing? What's the game for?
Existing roster.
Mm-hmm.
Go... Down. Everyone knows if you go on the WWE.com roster superstars page, it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
So give us 2, and I'll do the first one now. 3.
What's this for? I've already forgotten.
I'm going to do the catchphrase.
Okay. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. So Brock Lesnar. Stop. 1. What?
You can do this. You can do this, but it's Ikem and Jiro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to do the WWE creative right.
In a minute, like that row. It did, sorry.
Okay. So they're having a match on Raw, and I'm the writer.
Yep.
I'm the creative WWE writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to come together with a promo that Ikem and Jiro can write when he's about to have a match with Brock Lesnar on Raw.
Yeah.
Now, all I need to do is think of either the catchphrase, or Ikem and Jiro doesn't really have one because barely gets used.
Yeah.
Something he said in the past, or something he's known for saying.
Okay. Yeah.
So, he's going to say, Brock Lesnar, you might be the beast incarnate, but I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Give us 2 more. I'll do it. I'll do this all day.
You've seen people hit. I've seen you hit people really hard. But let me tell you, I've got some jacket potatoes coming your way.
I thought you were thinking on the jacket thing.
Yeah. Right. We're going to go the same row, but you'll explain. I'm going to save that for a second. So we only need one opponent here. So just tell me when to stop.
Stop. 4.
Right. Okay. This is. You might be able to do this. I don't know. Marseille.
Okay.
Yeah. We know the prior row. So there was one name next to Ikem and Jiro that I thought, I wish he'd said number 2. Marseille, ready on Monday Night Raw against a newly called up wrestler,
Ilya Dragunov, okay. You may think pain is beautiful, Ilya, but you see no one as beautiful as me, Marseille. That's the rubbish to write down. That's they ever had a match, that's what they would write.
How would Ilya, 2 weeks later, following the video package Wikipedia week, how would he probably respond to what people tend to think of the Maximum Male Models Act?
Oh, very entertaining.
Which I can only hope this podcast has been. We made it out of time. It's good, isn't it?
How long was this show?
Loads of video packages, man. Loads of there's, should say there's Money in the Bank qualifiers starting next week on SmackDown. They're, of course, promoting the 1,000...
show in bloody London.
It's going to be in bloody London town. Red buses and phone boxes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the crowds in England are the absolute best.
The absolute best.
I was working tags with Daddy in 87. Little skinny kid from Blackpool. And let me tell you, when A-Stax got in there with Daddy, people may mock Shirley for the belly bounce. But the crowds weren't mocking. You know what they were doing? They were paying for a bloody ticket.
And the punters came back next week. I tell them. Then me and the rest of the technical lads showed up and they stopped paying tickets.
I tell them every week in that bloody performance centre. I was like, you want to watch tapes? I'll get you some bloody tapes. They're off the wrestling channel. That's called Steve Regal and Big Daddy versus Haystacks and some other loser. I forget the name of. And they watch those tapes and they say, but Regal, we've just learnt a 450 splash. And he says, oh, the 450 splash isn't that entertaining. And he's like, well, is that what you were saying to your son for all the years to make him the referee he's become? And he says, yes. Anyway. Owens and Zayn are out.
Tell you, I used it wrong.
I was trying to show somebody my new favourite reptile, but it turned out I was just looking in a mirror. Right. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are out. The KO show. Knockout, KO, son. I have the power of the punch. That's my gimmick.
That's my gimmick. Brass knocks. Don't let the referee see it.
You wouldn't last 5 bloody minutes in a Blackpool Combat Club. Mine then, neither did I. I had to cut about 16 different promos to leave. They're out for the
KO. What's Paul wanted to see me, son?
Right. Yes, Kevin Owens.
Levesque is the game.
Bloody King of Kings.
It's a cerebral assassin.
There's somebody smart. More people wrestled like him. You have a lot more bums in seats. They'd all be going to sleep, but there'd be a lot more bums in seats.
That's because it's a monopoly. That's how he got away with it in 2003. You tell me what's wrong with that. It's a mugs game, this.
I used to love playing Monopoly with
when you were a young
lads backstage. The World of Sport era. We used to call Big Daddy free parking because you wanted to land on that spot.
Tell you what, these days, these kids are playing.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are out for the KO show. There's good stuff in here. Sorry, there is good stuff in here. Kevin Owens, like they do a bit of
scribbles.
Every bloody time on that maze, the ball got lost in maze.
Yeah, that's stupid. That one.
Oh God. Right. That was a Regal voice, I don't know why. Right, Kevin Owens does a bit of exposition, but it's good stuff. He says that he didn't understand until now why Sami Zayn believed so much in the Usos. They're sick of the bloodline, blah, 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 blah. But now he gets it. And what he's doing here is obviously like trying to strengthen the divide in the bloodline to try and empower the Usos. It's quite nice stuff, actually. He's saying that, you know, like... they've wrestled Jimmy and Jay. They've wrestled them like in the main event of WrestleMania. They've wrestled on television. And the Usos can go and they don't need Roman. They're going to beat Roman and Solo at Night of Champions. But like the Usos, you could just leave. You could just go. Anyway, Roman, get out here. You're the guest on the KO show. But Roman doesn't come out. Paul Heyman does. He's suggesting like, you think Roman comes out when you say he comes out. Roman comes out on Roman time, blah, blah, blah. Paul Heyman is interrupted by the Usos' music. He does a really good Paul Heyman face.
He's great.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting to be interrupted by the Usos. And of course, from earlier on the night, if you remember, there was the Jimmy tension with Roman. So, like, yet again, like, where are the Usos right now emotionally with this whole Roman Reigns situation? They come down to the ring, and Jay is trying to be as bloodline as he bloody possibly can. He says, you've got a problem, but it's not tomorrow, it's right now. Like, we've been down since day one-ish. Sammy's going to try and talk, and Owen says, no, I've got this, it's all right. Like, I knew that Roman Reigns wasn't going to come out. And that's why I want to talk to you. I think he's all right, you don't need Roman Reigns, blah, blah, which, of course, brings out Roman Reigns. He wants to get in the middle of this. Where are we at? Paul Heyman is looking absolutely shocked that, Jimmy and Jay would interrupt, that, like, they would dare to get in the way of Roman's thing. And then Jimmy refers to himself as the tribal chief, which, of course, has Paul Heyman doing Paul Heyman faces. You ever seen them before? It's so funny. Legitimately, Roman Reigns, again, is, like, incandescent and trying to play it down, because if Roman Reigns sells anything, of course, it raises the mystique of the tribal chief. It all boots off. Kevin hits Roman with a stunner. You've got a really good brawl on the outside with the Usos. Still sticking up for the bloodline, fundamentally. But before that, Sammy and Roman said the bloodline collapsing, and this has proven evidence of that. If we've missed any details there, we do apologise. The stream was janky, it was going all over the place. I promise we have done our best. There was one nice detail at the end. The bloodline win the segment, basically. Owens and Zayn are left beaten in a pile. And then in a really cool moment, Jay gives the one set of belts from Sammy to Solo. He gives one set of belts to Roman. And then Jimmy is holding the second set of belts. And now Jimmy is the guy who doesn't necessarily want to just empower this terrible Roman Reigns tyranny. And Roman snatches him. And Roman Reigns, in like a potentially quite incredible bit of patter, the best foreshadowing of them winning the belts, if anything, holds up all four belts.
Imagine that.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
So again, we've talked about this in the Night of Champions preview. Owens and Zayn win, and they've indicated for saying everything that we can see about the dissension of the bloodline, or they win the belts and Roman doesn't even let Solo touch them. This is pretty good. That was a pretty great visual.
Like, I want the Triple H meme with Roman is actually goated.
Yeah.
Like, he's just invincible. And he's desperate to see his arsehole lose.
Yeah.
They're building that still.
Mm-hmm.
Fair play to them. This could still go rubbish. It's the Fed.
Good stuff, good drama.
Good stuff, good drama. The idea of him just winning everything. He'll make it sing more when he actually loses.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I lost faith in him losing, so.
And hopefully you've not lost faith in the What Culture Wrestling podcast, just because we're in drink. But this was a really fun review. I hope you got a semblance of a job out of it, because we did.
We did.
And we're going to be back on Best Behaviour in Las Vegas tomorrow for your Double or Nothing preview.
Operation.
Double or Nothing weekend, of course. Downfall. I love bloody Downfall. I tried to cause it in AEW.
Yeah. All the bloody kids just want to bloody pop that red nose. There you go, you gotta play the game first, then they'll come up, they'll get the bloody red nose, that'll flash. You gotta wave the red nose, stop playing with the red nose, they'll get bored of the red nose. You gotta bring them up for the red nose, and then when you finally get the red nose go off, and it'll bloody mean something, sunshine.
The thing about Connect 4 is you wanna go for the diagonal, because they never bloody see it coming. They're going for them straight lines, and
the
you're
bloody
just.
Pop.
You're building bridges.
The bloody pop when you finally work to it. I ain't heard it yet. Bloody pop Adam Sidgwick.
And you wouldn't believe it. I turned that screw and that mouth got trapped. He was a little rat in a cage. I kept him as me pet. I called him Steve. It was after my old wrestling name. I love exotic animals. I'm at Michael Hamflett. You can find us all at What Culture WDB. We are still in Las Vegas. We're going to hit the tables like me and Gina Kurt Hennig after this. We're going to lose a ton of money. But we will still be here, nonetheless, for your AEW coverage. It's going to be far more professional than this, hopefully. But like this,
it will be.
We've got, of course, the Night of Champions review. We'll be watching that however we're friggin' able to. We've not quite figured that out yet.
Because we're going to be able to.
It's the CAC, isn't it, in the United States? Our network.
The Wi-Fi subs there.
The Wi-Fi doesn't work. The network subs don't work. But we're going to try and watch Night of Champions. We'd love to do a review for that as well. All the rest of the content, the only thing we won't have is Battleground, but that'll be next week when we get back in the office.
Oh, you can.
And until
off?
Yeah, you are, yeah. But until that, catch us for the AEW stuff the weekend, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.